Hello, it's Tuesday, February 21st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Before we bring our guest on today, we have an update from yesterday that Lisa's going to give us about this rally in New York City.
Yeah, Greg Nixon's final report on the March for 9/11 Truth, which began at Ground Zero, 10 a.m. yesterday. Greg also tells us that the cops there were overly sympathetic and polite. He said they are our friends in this. They saw the destruction, and we need to mobilize these guys. He pretty much concurs with their reaction to us when we were at Ground Zero.
Right.
He was interviewed by the Netherlands equivalent of CBS. He expressed his rage in that interview. The protesters walked to Spitzer's Silverstein Properties office and protested there. Sandra Hicks gave an inspired speech. David Letterman was also present, and he seemed to pay no attention to the protesters, very interestingly enough.
What about with Amy Goodman, that little scenario?
Amy Goodman. They went to Amy Goodman's fire station radio headquarters there, and the staff had previously, yesterday morning, thrown Craig Hill and Nixon out the door. The staff of Amy Goodman was very hostile to them. Hicks called Amy via speakerphone. The crowd was jeering. Amy hung up on them. They say this is the first time anybody's confronted Amy Goodman and called her a media figure serving power, not the people. So we give them kudos for that. They also lectured to subway riders on Lockheed Martin's role in as an inside sponsor of 9/11. They protested outside of Giuliani's offices at the New York Times headquarters and at the public library. We give Greg Nixon and all those protesters our support. We thank them for doing what they did.
Very good. Very, very good. And we hope to see him sometime in the future, and we'll definitely have him back on this show. Now, our guest today is Visigoth. His radio show, From the Grassy Knoll, can be found at Visigoth.com. That's VYZYGOTH.com. And if you're a fan of talk radio, this is one of the shows you have to tune into. He was also the co-winner of our 2005 Wing TV Radio Show of the Year. He's the co-author of Phantom Flight 93. And also, last November when he interviewed us about Flight 93, during one of the breaks, there was some music playing. Viz was singing in the background this song by Jerry Jeff Walker called Don't It Make You Want to Dance. So if we have a little time at the end of the show, maybe we'll have a little sing-along here. So, Viz, how do you do on Bye Bye Miss American Pie? You good on that one?
I'm best in the shower. Can you give me a minute? How you guys doing?
Good. Hey, thanks for coming on the show today. Now, let everyone know again, Viz, how they can find your radio show, what time it starts. Give them all the particulars.
I'll tell you, this is the never-ending movable feast. But for all intents and purposes, the one stable is it streams on Remnant Radio and PascoRadio.org, and that happens on Fridays, 11 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. And I'm saying it's movable because I've done the show from five venues, and I don't think it's over yet.
It seems it's like that game of, what's that, when you dance around the chairs?
Dance Revolution.
Yeah, like that. Well, Viz, let's jump right into this. Last night, Lisa and me were running around doing some errands, and I came up with a scenario. And I says, what happens if, within the next year or two, the economy tanks, this war in the Middle East gets even worse than it is right now, and what if the truth about 9/11 is exposed by the people at the very top of the New World Order? They deliberately bring the information out. I said, if all of this happens, it's going to make the Bush administration look even worse than it already is, and it would open the door for a Democrat to win in 2008, kind of like Jimmy Carter in 1976. So let me ask you this. In your opinion, it's a two-part question. What are the odds right now that Hillary Clinton could become president in 2008? And if she does, what would America look like in 2009?
Well, first of all, I think it's a slam dunk that she is the president. I think with the way entertainment often tells you or prepares you for things to come, I don't think it's any coincidence that Gina Davis is in that role presently on TV. And I think it's probably time for a change, just because they'll make the Democrats happy and they'll pee off the Republicans. But
Mm-hmm.
Things will continue. I mean, I look at this like what happened with Vietnam. I mean, it's all been forgotten that was started under Eisenhower, who was a Republican.
Yeah.
But all anybody ever thinks about is the escalation and all the other tumultuous events with Vietnam under Democrats. But you know what I'm saying? It's a continuum. So, yeah, put her in the White House. I mean, I stopped caring a long time ago about who sits in that office.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think America would look like with her as president?
You know, we all know that we don't like people who continue to scream, you know, the world's coming to an end. On the other hand, sooner or later, something's going to happen in this nation that's never happened before. That's kind of hard to believe, and you don't want to believe it. But, I mean, we've talked about this, and we will talk about this when you come on in a couple of days, and that is, I think somewhere around 2008, 2010, it's going to be a very nasty situation, not only in the United States, but globally. And that's got to do with economics. It's got to do with the whole demographics that they've been trying to change with illegal immigration, the loss of jobs, a wider war, and probably an attack that will try to get people all fired up to renew their hatred for, you know, whatever object the powers that be want us to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, it's Muslims and Arabs.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the Daily News has reported on some fake poll that's been taken, and we don't believe in these polls. That's why we call them fake, because they never poll us. But a growing number of Americans supposedly think the nation's ready for a woman as president. 64% actually supposedly think that, although the Democrats seem more partial to this than the Republicans. How surprising.
But, I forgot who said this, but it kind of builds on what Edward Bernays laid out in his two books back in the 1920s. Bernays was really the first PR person. He modernized the whole idea. And his uncle was Sigmund Freud, from whom he ripped a lot of PSYOP strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And Freud reportedly was not too happy about it after he found out. That's chronicled by Larry Ty, T-Y-E, who wrote The Father of Spin. But these polls are just another brick in the wall as far as propagandizing people.
Oh,
right.
I agree.
Well, it was sponsored by Hearst Corporation and somebody else, so Hearst, naturally, yellow journalism. Let me ask you this about these Arab ports. Peninsula and Oriental Steam Navigation Company was bought last week by Dubai Ports, owned by the United Arab Emirates. Okay. Now, this is going to give foreign hands control of, I think, six major U.S. ports. Should we be giving control of our ports to foreign nations, and have they essentially handed New York over?
Well, I'm thinking about Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, and I'm thinking about Port Newark in New Jersey. There's some places they may not want to take over. But there's two things happening here. One, I don't want any foreign company, right? I don't want any foreign company or any foreign enterprise in here running what could be run by ourselves. I mean, we're losing jobs here, and you're going to bring in somebody from the outside. Secondly, I don't think people are thinking about that as much as they are getting upset that it's an Arab outfit. And you can look at that as being ethnic or racially discriminatory, because it's like, well, okay. But what this is also now is another scratching of the behind.
Yeah, and you know what, Viz? They kept the Port Authority in the dark about this, and they have a percentage controlling interest over in that New York port, too. They want to know who's going to be running the show over there.
I mean, this is nonsensical. It is. I mean, I can't even believe that this is an issue. But again, it's another thing to get people all riled up. And I believe it's interesting that it's not a company from Norway, you know, or a company from whatever, Chad.
Yeah.
You know, it's an Arab nation.
And the president doesn't have any concern about the national security part of it.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to this. I read an article this morning, and it's about a guy named Francis Fukuyama. And he wrote a book called The End of History that was actually favorable towards the neocons, but he's come out now and says that the neocons should be discarded on the history pile of discredited ideologies. He said the neocons are now in shambles, and that this is what the danger of good intentions happen when it's carried to extremes. So is the whole house of cards, Viz, crumbling for these neocons?
You know, you don't know what's disinfo and what smoke and mirrors. I mean, you know the position papers that these Trotskyites wrote back in the latter half of the 1990s. And it's happened. Now, I can't see warfare ever coming to an end. I just think that they're going to change the channel. And, of course, you know, those who are Democrats will support what they wouldn't have Republicans do, and vice versa. So I think that's kind of hot air. I don't really think that that disassembled. I just think that their time might be coming to an end, but certainly we're not seeing the end of warfare in our time.
It was just kind of like new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, but when you have that other regime do it, somehow you get this a little alleviating of tensions. And like I said, Republicans complain about Democrats when they do it. Democrats complain about Republicans when they do it.
Right.
When your guy does it, you love it.
Right. Viz, Orwell, in his book 1984, he wrote about something called newspeak, a restrictive political language of the prevailing political party in his book. He said that the idea of newspeak was to restrict the language to the point that people would have to think only in the limited language of the party. Do you see Bush doing that?
I see government doing that.
Government,
yeah.
Foundations doing that. I think Orwell, he's my hero. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Every year I live, I see him as definitely being anti-socialism, and he was warning us about what was happening.
Oh, I couldn't agree
Interestingly
more.
Interestingly enough, the Seattle Times opinion poll is comparing him and this administration to Orwell, too.
We've always popped off about Big Brother. I mean, we've heard this back in the 60s when we were kids at our parents' cocktail parties. Oh, Big Brother, everything is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's happened. It has been happening for decades, and it's getting worse and worse, and people are still not getting it, that this is a mind-op on all of us, and that Orwell was waving a flag and telling us, these Fabian socialists are going to do this to you in incrementalism, and that's what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly, he got the year wrong, but that was it.
Yeah. Now, Viz, we've been speaking a lot lately about the Middle East, about Iran, about the Iranian oil bourse, and so forth. If you had to get out your crystal ball, what's going to be happening with the United States and Iran, and if you want to throw in Russia and China too, within the next 6 to 9 months, where are we going by the end of this year?
I mean, there'll be some kind of incursion into Iran. The UN will get involved, and I think it'll get all mucked up. But I don't believe the heavy stuff is going to happen until a couple. I don't think anything's going to happen, as we've talked about ad nauseum, I'm sure, after 2008. I think that the Olympics is a threshold moment for the planet, after which I think the hostilities will really increase.
Yeah, well, give us your thoughts on that, how you likened the Olympics of 2008 to the, I believe, 1936 Olympics in Berlin during the Nazi regime.
I didn't sit down and concoct this. It just kind of comes to you. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm right, but knowing that these characters pull off the same scam time and time again, I mean, here, after all, I'm reliving another Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
What do we forget about another oil crisis? What do we forget about, the 70s and 60s? Well, anyway, I'm looking at all of the elements that were involved in the world, especially in Europe, prior to World War II, and we had a very big economic crisis. We had an aggressor nation that was arming up, who also happened to be hosting the Olympics, after which Nazi Germany went into Poland, and I see China going into Taiwan. So I think that there may be a deliberate parallel here, because these characters never do anything original. They don't have to. They just run the same scam, because, one generation forgets.
Right.
We've had another recent audio tape of Osama bin Forgotten, where he vows never to be captured alive, and he charges that the U.S. military is as barbaric as Saddam Hussein. How much longer are we going to have to tolerate this Osama bin Forgotten fiction, and who exactly benefits from the public belief that Osama is even still alive?
Well, I did a show on this once. I took a section of 1984. I supplanted Emmanuel Goldstein's name with Osama bin Laden. It was chilling. I mean, you talk about ripped right from the pages in 1984. It's so easy for Americans, the dummies, to not only hate, but focus their hate if you give them a personification.
Yep.
Right.
So we got Osama bin Laden. And let's remember, too, that once in a while they change out, and they throw in Massawi or somebody else, and then it goes back to, they're in Saddam, but we can't do that anymore.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm laughing. You'll never take him alive. You can't take live what's already dead.
That's a great, great scenario, just substituting Osama for Goldstein. That's great. Now,
it's
Viz,
that's time on online. It's a riot.
It is. It sounds like. Now, Viz, let's look at this current administration. We have all kinds of reports coming out about the president being nuts and going on these spastic tirades. We have Dick Cheney shooting people. We have the lobbyist scandal and Michael Chertoff and the Katrina hurricane. We have the CIA leak with Valerie Plame and Scooter Libby and on and on. How do you think history is going to look back on this administration? How is it going to stack up against other corrupt administrations like the Clintons and Nixon and Reagan.
Well, look at how history looks back at them. I mean, it really takes the steam out of it. I think the way something ends is the way it'll be reported. If his administration, for some strange reason, which I can't understand why they would let it happen, goes down in some corrupt, endings. I mean, the likes of Teapot Dome or whatever. I mean, look at Watergate. I mean, does anybody really, it all just seems to get mollified over time. And everybody forgets. About this situation, I don't see anything happening to Bush. He's going to leave without a scratch. These characters, who knows what's going to happen to them. Usually it goes so long, nobody cares. And they walk after doing a year in Club Fed,
Yeah, or else they go to corporate America and just start the scam there again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still tracking like with Ken Lay. he finally supposedly is on trial. But, I mean, I'm waiting to hear stuff. It's been years. I mean, I'm sure this guy's going to disappear too.
Yeah.
Well, they'll just take his limo away from him. We have an article on our website today called Media Watchdogs, and in it, Victor talks about the primary objectives of the media being, A, to disseminate news, and B, to serve as a watchdog for the citizenry to inform everybody of what's going on around them. So my question to you is this. Should the alternative media emulate the mainstream media by reporting on what's favorable to certain groups or persons, or should we also not only disseminate news, but diligently engage in being a watchdog for the people?
Well, I mean, I thought that was a function not only of alternative journalism, but straight journalism.
Right, well, now it's in their code of ethics, but they don't abide by it.
No, they never, in fact, now I realize they never had to.
Right, it was a volunteer basis, honor system.
The thing about, if you're talking about alternative media, like Beyond Amy and all them, beyond the whole NPR, PBS thing.
Right.
The biggest fear I have here is that I think there's more and more disinformation being injected into it, and I think, the barbarians are inside the gate, and they really present the biggest problem, not the government or anybody out there, but our own, who deliberately are muddying the waters.
Well, very well said. Yeah. Now, Thursday night, there's a new group called Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM, there's going to be Professor Jim Fetzer, David Ray Griffin, and Morgan Reynolds. They're going to be on for 3 hours that night. They're going to speak about 9/11, hopefully about the controlled demolition. When we wake up Friday morning, Viz, what do you think is going to be the result of this show? How far are they going to be able to take it, and how much credence do you put in someone like George Norrie or Art Bell or someone of that ilk?
Every time he's had somebody on from the 9/11 camp, whether it's Von Kleist, whatever, the next day usually there's some kind of comments about how wacky those people were. And you know where I'm going to go with this, and the next thing that your callers want to do is talk about, shadow rodents.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah,
I heard that myself one day when I missed Von Kleist. The next day somebody called in, and you could hear him. He actually wanted to believe, but he's so feeble, he's going to ask Norrie what he should believe. And then he finally works to the point that, Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And he goes on to some other wild topic, and I just howled.
Uh-huh.
I howled. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Now, nothing's going to happen. Nothing ever goes there. In fact, if anything, it probably re-entrenches the fact that most of those people who listen to that show are going to say 9/11 was wacko. Ironically, though, they'll claim that they had 17 past lives.
Yeah, and the track history of that show and Art Bell's program there, I mean, Norrie last time had Hufschmidt on, Eric Hufschmidt.
He got hijacked by...
And that one just went completely off the tracks.
By what's the station, the CIA?
Hoagland.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Viz, before we close this out today, give everyone your website address again.
It's Visigoth.com. It's a corrupted spelling of the tribe Visigoth. It's VYZYGOTH.com. And there you'll find all the information about... the upcoming shows. We're also going to revamp it and probably carry a little bit more archived audio. We're only running 4 now, and we're going to expand that. We're running 20, but that wasn't on my server, and I try to go through a consolidation so that I was less dependent upon other people, even though they were really good about it. If it hits the fan, I want to be the one, that's going to be pulling strings, not somebody else on me.
Exactly. Yeah. And before I ask the last question, I just want to urge everybody out there, like I said in the beginning of the show, if you're a fan of talk radio, Visigoth doesn't have a show where he just sits there and reads news articles for 3 hours. A lot of these hosts, they just print out, it seems like, a stack of papers and sit there and read these stories. Viz is more innovative. He has a very historical nature to it and so forth. And that's why this is one of our favorite shows out there because
absolutely.
He just takes it from such a different angle that everybody go out to visigoth.com, listen on Friday nights, and, you know, this is as good as it gets in our opinion.
He's got great taste in music, too.
Yes, he does, as you'll hear right at the end of the show.
Well, if I could just say one thing.
Go ahead.
Over the years, when Harry and I began the show, we were doing a half an hour, and it's coming up in 5 years now, but, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. It's like yelling, you know, we're putting a flashlight out in space, you don't even know anything's going to come back. Now, after so many years, I mean, people have been very, very kind to me, and I tell you what, this, whatever happens here, I don't want to call it success because it's not about that, but whatever people you have listening and trusting you, it's really an accident. I never knew this was going to happen. I just got so aggravated and angry with the way things were going. I just couldn't shut up anymore. So I've been really fortunate in that sense. And also with this newspaper that's printing my articles, that he's getting it out, I can't believe it. Now, it's not a daily, I'm going to tell you straight up. But, I mean, what I'm finding more now is that people aren't arguing or getting PO'd at me. They're going to do one of two things. They understand something's up, or they just simply say, look, I don't care. I don't care. I'm just going on with my life. But
I don't find...
as many argumentative people as I used to.
Yeah. Well, let me broach this last subject. There's been a lot of talk lately about Google, about how they went into China, they bowed down to the Chinese government. Also, Microsoft bowed down to the Chinese government, as did Yahoo. Where do you see this whole information technology going in the future in regard to censorship, about the government's ability or even private corporations' ability to restrict what the everyday person is allowed to have access to?
All right, two things real quick. The one that's a tangible is that right now all these companies are building our cage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to be imprisoned by this technology. There's no two ways about it. It all fits into, you know, the Big Brother total surveillance. But I got to go back and do something. I want to tell you real quick. Terry Melanson, who runs Conspiracy Archive, I think, .com, sent me some photos that he got from somebody, and I'm telling you, I thought it was whack-a-ding-hoy. It was the whiteboard notes, I guess, in classes that Google was running, like seminars for their employees.
Uh-huh.
Now, I looked at it, and, you know, and me, tinfoil hat wearer himself, I looked at it and I went, nah, pshaw. And I got to get back to Terry and ask him if I can see those photos, if he hasn't ditched them. I'm telling you that that company is every bit as militaristic and as monolithic as IBM or Microsoft. Those guys are not going to play nice with us in years to come.
And it's funny because they're on the cover of the latest Time magazine, and I read that article, and I still try to fluff them off as some kind of wacky, you know, internet geek company that just got lucky and hit it big, you know? But it goes way beyond that, doesn't it?
But I read something yesterday that Google has told the feds in the United States to back off from their requests for their database information. So,
well, I would say probably at least for the time being. What do you think, Viz?
What I think is that Google's got a great deal going. I mean, they'll play ball with the government, but they want to be paid for what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're not
going to
give it away.
Exactly.
So I think Google will find itself a nice little partnership, as other companies have with the government, especially with that all-seeing eye that every one of us have in our office. So.
Yeah. Well, Viz, thanks for coming on today, and as always, it's a joy. And we hope to see something, a chapbook or something from you in the future. We know you got tons of ideas. So what we're going to do now is we're going to close out with this song by Jerry Jeff Walker. When did you see him, Viz?
All right.
What year did you see him?
What year did I see him? 1977 at Dartmouth College.
Very good. Well, you can hear the song. It's called Don't It Make You Want to Dance. Viz, keep up the great work down there. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
And our best to you and Lady Viz.
That's right.
God bless you both. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
To you soon. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on. I think what we're going to do tomorrow, Lisa, is some kind of mock interview as if we were the ones on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll see where we would take it. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you all then.